Coming to you from 27 miles west of downtown Chicago, you're listening to 27 West, produced by the congregations of Wheaton Bible Church and Iglesia de Pueblo in West Chicago, Illinois, and Tri-Village Church, our campus in nearby Streamwood. Our purpose is to make this very large body of Christ a little smaller as we meet and learn from one another.
Welcome to 27 West Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Murray, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Amy Zalava.
Hey.
Live music by Amy Mueller.
Hey.
And our guest this week is Sergio Villanueva. Now, Sergio attends our Latino congregation at Iglesia de Pueblo, and we're just glad you guys are here. So, hey, guys, how's everyone doing today?
Good, good. It's good to be here. It's good to be here, guys. A little cold.
Yeah, it's
here a little
cold.
In Chicago, this day in particular, it's a little cold, but
that's right.
We're fine.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Have you had your coffee yet this morning, Amy?
I'm on it.
All right, good. How about you, Sergio? You
drink? I had it already.
Okay, good.
Are you a one cup of coffee person?
I'm not a coffee drinker, but in days like this, I convert into a coffee drinker. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm at least one cup per hour, so that explains a lot. So, Sergio, tell us a little about who you are, where you grew up. I know that you lived in Mexico. Mm-hmm. You are a Mexican citizen, U.S. citizen. So tell us all about that. How did you come over to the statesides? Why?
Yeah.
Just give us a little brief history.
Well, maybe you can start by my full name. My full name is Sergio Isaías Villanueva González.
Mm. That's
my
long.
Full name. Yeah. Yeah, so in Mexico, you keep your both of your last names of your dad and your mom.
Wow.
And then I have a second name, so a middle name, that you, how you say it here in the States. So that's my name. I was born in Monterrey, Mexico, which is one of the largest cities in the country of Mexico. This is northeast of Mexico, a very industrial city. However, when I was 3 years old, my parents moved to this other city called Torreón. And Torreón is central Mexico. Think about it this way. It's like 5 hours, yes, kind of like 6 hours from the border, from Texas.
Okay.
Laredo, Texas.
Yeah.
I grew up there. I was part of this family that grew up in church. My dad was not a believer at the time, but my mom was a faithful and devoted believer and follower of Jesus. So she took my brother, my sister, and myself to church every Sunday. She took 2 buses, public transportation, to get to church every Sunday, and we didn't miss church. And so we loved, grew up at church. And when I was 11, I heard a pastor preach about it's not enough just to go to church. You need to have this personal relationship with Jesus, and you need to know him as your Savior and Lord. So I remember that I was 11, and I just responded, yeah, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. And that's how I came to Christ. Of course, throughout my years, I've been growing more in the faith. But I think as a simple child responding to this just simple call, you want to follow Jesus, you need him. He's awesome. He's your Savior. The maker of everything, and I just responded with a childlike faith, and that's how I began my walk with Jesus.
Now, did your church have children's ministry, youth ministry? Were you involved in that? Or?
I remember we were part of Sunday school, which is classes on Sunday morning. But I remember that I was not part of anything during the week because we live far. And remember, we had to take 2 buses. So it was only going to church on Sundays. But then my mom used to talk to us about Jesus every day during the week. I remember days where we had rainy days and we were not able to go to church. I remember my mom used to bring, for those of us who grew up in church in the 80s, you remember the flannographs?
Oh, yeah.
I remember those.
Yeah. I still love those.
So they still use them, I think, in some places. But it's like basically it's like cut up pieces of paper with the figures of characters from the Bible, and then you will put him in a cloth, right?
Right.
And then
you
tell a story.
I think. Yeah.
And you tell a story.
And flannel.
Well, this is Mexico, so we made it out of paper. and I remember my mom making us involved of this. Mm. I remember vividly she telling us the story of Noah. And all of us were in charge of something. Like, okay, you're going to draw the sea. And then the other, one of my siblings was going to draw some animals.
Yeah.
And then she will tell us the story. So I remember when I think about my childhood, I remember going to church, but I remember my mom playing a very important role in our spiritual upbringing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, you mentioned your mom. What about your dad?
My dad, in those years, was not walking with the Lord. He got a quote-unquote conversion when he met my mom, mm-hmm. because he met her at church, and he wanted to marry her.
Yeah.
So he, quote-unquote, converted. Yep. And then as soon as they got married, he forgot about the church. And he used to play soccer every Sunday, like religiously. That was his god.
Yeah.
That was his idol. And so here you have him taking the car to his games and my mom taking the kids and bus to church. But then lately, when I was around 12, my dad has had a real encounter with God.
Oh,
and
wow.
That completely changed the dynamic of the family until years after he came to the Lord. He ended up starting a small group from a church and then becoming a leader and then becoming a pastor. So today he's a pastor in Mexico.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah.
So you're a pastor's kid.
I'm a pastor's kid.
Kind
of.
Like you didn't grow up as a pastor's
kid.
Well,
yeah, when I was already 14, 15, already my dad was in charge of a church.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so it was kind of fast.
Yeah, that's kind of pastored by your mom, too, as a young kid as well.
So kind of a peak, being a PK.
She sounds pretty amazing.
You know what they say, discipleship begins in the home.
It sure does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how did you meet your wife, Rosie?
Okay, so then my teenage years, I was at church and helping my dad and being part of the youth group and, of course, trying to help your parents run the church and serve a church. I remember on Sundays I'm going to get to my wife, but I think I need to explain this before. On Sundays, we will have all the musicians for the worship band and the worship team. But midweek services, there were none. They were working. So here my brother and I wanted to help my dad. I remember my brother started playing the drums. And I learned 3 chords in the piano to lead the songs. And I
G, C, D.
G, C, and D.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to look to see how many songs can I play with those 3 chords. Of course, in the 80s, this is like 250 songs.
Oh, yeah.
That you can play easily at church. Yeah. And so that's how
Should
I started.
Should we sing some of them right now?
We can.
No, it's okay.
So...
that's
GCD. 90s. I'm a little bit
80s.
Behind. Yeah.
I was still young.
What was like the biggest worship song in the 80s?
Let me see, because I know a lot of...
What was your favorite?
We call them coritos, and those are, of course, songs in Spanish that have, like, for instance, there's this song that says, Alabaré, alabaré, alabaré a mi señor, alabaré, alabaré. Alabaré a mi señor. Yeah. He's basically saying, I will praise my Lord. And so very simple songs like that. And we used to sing them, and we would call them cadenitas, so a little like chain of songs, or how would we call those in English? Like medleys?
Sure.
A long medley.
Like a mashup.
You can make it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes long, and you just keep singing and adding and adding and adding songs.
It's the worship song that never ends.
That never ends.
That's right.
Yeah. So then I was part of this. I started learning songs, and I remember my first worship conference. I was like 17 or 18, and I went by myself, and it was in another city. I traveled by myself. I was completely in awe of what I saw there. I saw these worship leaders kind of bringing us into this journey. It wasn't just choosing songs and randomly adding songs to the medley. There was a reasoning on why you start with these songs and you continue with this other song, and you will sing script and you will read scripture, and there was this kind of journey, and I was amazed of that. I came back to my dad saying, can I also join the Sunday band?
Yeah.
And I was not at the level of Sunday. I just play on Wednesdays. But they added me just singing with a tambourine on the side. And that's how I started on Sundays.
Hey, 3 chords and the tambourine. There's no chords to the tambourine.
No, but you just keep the rhythm, and it was fun. Yeah.
All right, we're bringing it back to worship. Tell us about your wife.
So then My dad was invited to a men's retreat here in Chicago by a pastor that he knew, a pastor that used to travel to Mexico. And I invited my dad, why don't you come to Chicago to this men's retreat that we're going to have? So my dad has this idea of bringing the whole family, kind of him coming to ministry, and then the family will have this vacation. First time for us here in the States as a family. That was 1991. And that church that invited my dad, then when they knew that I know these new songs, this is the beginning of the 90s, so Mexico is going through a renewal of worship and praise, and that started in Mexico and then ran through Latin America. So I knew a lot of new songs that the Latino churches here they didn't know.
Yeah.
And so they invited me to teach some of these songs to the worship band, which I did. And then the pastor said, why don't you come back in the summer and stay with us for 2 months? I was about to start Bible school, and he told me, this summer, before you go to Bible school, come here, stay with us, the pastor's house with him and his wife, his kids. Serve at our church, come to our youth retreat, and just teach us all this that you're learning. And I talked to my parents, and I came back by myself, and that's the summer that I met my wife. She was the one in charge of the logistics of that youth retreat. Mm. So that youth retreat changed my life, literally.
Oh, yeah.
Literally. That's why we encourage every young and teen that needs to attend youth retreets, you should attend to youth retreats. You never know what could happen there.
Yeah, it could change your life. Life change complete.
How old were you when you met her?
I was... In 91, I was 20. In 91, I was 20, yeah. So I was about to be 20 or I turned 20. But yeah, that's how I met her. And then I went to Bible school. So our relationship was by letters. By letters. This is before
that's
Facebook
so
and before email and before.
Those were the days.
What's up?
Do you still have all your letters?
We still have them in a box.
Nice.
Yeah. So what we used to do, instead of keeping a journal, it was like writing to each other every day. And then we'll send the letter once a week. And then, so we would receive the letter, and I basically knew what she was doing, and she knew what I was doing because of the letters. And we stayed like this for like almost 2 years.
Wow.
Until we got married.
A lot has changed.
That is crazy.
Right, Amy?
Yeah. I mean, now I just text.
Now, for those short times, for those rare occasions that we could call, have a conversation, phone conversation. Imagine the bill. I mean, staying 2 hours on the phone.
International.
Yeah. I mean, that was back in the day when phones were still a thing.
Yeah. You have landlines. You don't have cell phones.
No one even talks anymore on the phone, it seems like.
Yeah. You would text.
Do you talk to your wife?
Cell box
do you talk to your wife on the phone?
Oh, yeah. We text. We talk. FaceTime.
Yeah.
She gets a little annoyed with FaceTime when I'm at work. Probably because I'm at work.
Yeah, probably because you shouldn't be FaceTiming.
All right, so speaking of work, now we work here at the church together, and you lead worship. What do you love about leading worship here at Iglesia del Pueblo? Now, we have – it's one body with two arms. So the Bible Church is one body, two arms, one arm being IDP, one arm being
So I'm part of the Latino congregation here at Wheaton Bible, which we call Iglesia del Pueblo, and that's what IDP. Some people don't know what IDP stands for, so it's Iglesia del Pueblo.
Yep.
It means Church of the People. And what I loved about leading the people of God in worship is that literally every Sunday I'm able to bring people of different nations and point them to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that I have people from different backgrounds, experiences in life, different nations and countries, and we're here together. And what brings us together is Jesus, and it's our love for him that is poured out in our singing, in our worshiping. And as we do that, we are being transformed more and more, like the word says, from glory to glory. So beautiful things that God is doing in our lives will become even more beautiful as we get to know him and experience it in our trials and in our good times and everything in between. So I love that. I think that's the thing that I love most in my life is being able to spend time with people and together worship God, sing to him and worship. Because when you do this individually, which of course is necessary for every believer, you have your devotional time. it's on your own. But when you have it with people, it's a different dynamic. It takes a completely different dynamic. And also the group of people that you are with. Mm-hmm. I've been able to do this with, like, through my life. I've been doing this for the last, I don't know, like 30 years of my life. So I've been able to do this with elderly people in nursing homes. I've been able to do this with just kids at Sunday school or kids in orphanages. And every single time, it takes a different, it's like a different expression, because everyone is singing to God from the place that they were living. So the moment, the experience of singing and worshiping to God takes a different form because of the people that are there. So now when you have people from different countries in Latin America, it takes also a life of its own. And it's new every time, and it's beautiful. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've been to IDP a few times, uh-huh. and I love worshiping there because we sing songs in English, uh-huh. but you usually have like a bridge or one of the verses is in Spanish,
uh-huh.
and it's so cool because I have no idea what I'm saying, but I know that I'm praising God.
Yeah,
but it's really cool because you look around and like some people that is their native language, Spanish, uh-huh. and so I appreciate how you kind of help blend the cultures together, because we don't always get that.
Yeah, well, we try to. Lately, we've been doing this for the last year and a half. We have the lyrics of the songs in Spanish and in English,
mm-hmm.
so we can go back and forth. And this is for some of our people. Their first language is Spanish, and their second language is English. But for some of them, the first language are like my sons. Their first language is English,
yeah.
and their second language is Spanish. So going back and forth, it really helps us. And
now,
just, it gives you a little bit greater scope.
Now that can be tricky, because I've talked to you before
uh-huh.
about translating from English to Spanish or Spanish to English,
yeah.
and how you can't just change the word because the word is timed with the song.
Uh-huh.
Explain how you get around that.
It's, you know, you have certain syllables. You have a metric when you're singing and you're playing music. And so you have to match the melody.
Right.
So you have certain syllables. And remember that Spanish language, our words are always longer.
They're yeah. so
English
long.
Is always – English is a – I think language – I don't know if language reflects culture or culture reflects language, but they – I think there's an interdynamic relationship between language and culture, because English is so practical. It just goes to the point. It has short words. And with Spanish, you always have these like long words.
Yeah. That is a phenomenal, fabulous, amazing comment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it just reflects who we are. Yeah. So imagine. So this is how I see it. When I translate songs, or I call them adaptations.
Sure.
Because if it's a translation, you need to keep everything that you're saying.
Yeah.
And if you do that, it's going to be horrible. It's either not going to make sense, or it's going to be really cramped, or you have to change the melody, which yeah. is not fair for the original songwriter.
Sure.
So I see it this way. It's like you're living in a house with all this furniture, and you need to move into an apartment. So you have to make a decision. You either live with with all the furniture, but you're going to be very cramped, or you get rid of furniture. So you have to get rid of words and choose the idea that you want to keep.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. choose the idea and keep that one.
And then be comfortable with the furniture and how it is.
Be comfortable with right. the furniture. Yeah. It will be fine. It will be fine. So don't
I feel
be
like
afraid.
This is like a good life tip. Like, just embrace change.
Adulting with Sergio.
Yeah, yeah. So you need to make decisions. You cannot keep everything.
Now, Sergio, you talked about how the power of being with the body mm-hmm. when you are worshiping. What would you say to any one of us, either side
yeah.
of Wheaton Bible, uh-huh. About the power of being together? Because many people would say, you know, I listen to K-Love in the morning and fill my heart with worship, which that does work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to listen to, like, the sermon online. Mm-hmm. So, like, what would you say, like, to those people who don't refuse but don't make it a priority yeah. to come into the church?
Yeah, some people that arrive to church right before the message because they think, well, they're going to be singing. So singing is kind of like warming up people for the
yeah.
message. And I will say that the Bible doesn't tell us that at all. First of all, the Bible commands us not only to worship but to sing.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know if people have we have this command of singing and singing publicly about God.
Yeah.
Because singing publicly about God does something in us. Is bringing us into this experience of this group of people, this community of people, that now they are saying the same thing, proclaiming the same truth, and in some places or in some instances even feeling the same experience. I saw this is a really cool video. It's on YouTube, and if someone asks for it, we can give them the link. It's a study of this psychologist who was studying how the human body changes when we're singing. And then they did the study. They brought this choir, and then they make them sing. And then they were measuring the heartbeat and the pulses and the breathing. And they discovered that as they were singing the same song, the breathing starts sinking. And of course, it makes sense because we're singing the same song, we're pausing at the same places, and we're breathing at the same time. Mm. So what he discovered is that when we sing together, our heartbeats start to sink.
Wow. That's so crazy.
That's so cool. And this is by some scientist that was doing this. This is one not made by the church. This is a scientist who was studying the power of singing together. And here you have it. God commands us to sing because when we sing, we become one.
So we're physically and mentally united.
Physically, yeah. Mentally, spiritually, emotionally, many times together.
Yeah.
And we need that. We need the community of God to worship God together.
That's awesome. So before we leave your family and talk about other things, yeah. You have sons.
I have two sons, yeah.
And they do worship, both of them? Or
yeah, one of them, it's right now, the youngest one is right now studying in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And he's doing worship and pastoral studies in at Boys College, which is the undergrad of Southern Baptist mm-hmm. Seminary. And he's going for music. And then our oldest one is at Moody Bible Institute. He's studying for Christian education.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, so they love serving, and it's a blessing. It's the greatest, like honor. It's like you cannot boast in yourself because it's the grace of God. I mean, it's you can only boast in the Lord that to see your kids serving
Him. Yeah, it almost seems like as a man and mm-hmm. maybe and a married couple, there's a time where you're building your career.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the time if you have kids
uh-huh.
where that switches and you start pushing them up the ladder and helping them be successful.
Uh-huh.
I think you're there right now.
Yeah. It's like you wanna see them experiencing God in their own life.
Yeah.
You wanna see them having their own stories of faith.
Yeah.
Because it's not gonna be enough. I cannot live of the stories of faith that my mom and my dad have. Mm-hmm. I needed my own.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I can live the Christian life.
Yeah.
I need to see God in my life, not only in the life of my parents. So I want now for my kids now.
Yeah.
My prayer to God is, God, let them see you in their lives.
Yeah.
And if they see you in their lives and they have their own stories of faith, they can grow in that.
And your life's not over. You have way more life to give.
Hopefully,
but
yeah, that's what I want.
But the legacy you're leaving, that you're helping your kids carry on, hopefully will carry on to their kids and their
uh-huh.
kids and their kids.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, that's God's calling for all of us. Hmm?
Yeah.
That our kids will, our children and the children of our children will love the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
So for someone listening who maybe doesn't have a parent like uh-huh. you did in your life, what mm-hmm. advice would you give them? Like, let's say they're 18. They don't have the direction.
Yeah,
what would you tell them?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have parents that loved the Lord when I was a teenager. But what about those who don't? Well, you have spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers in the scripture. And you can see their lives as people that follow God even in hard circumstances. Joseph comes to my mind. He had a father that loved God, Jacob, but then he was separated from him, and he spent years on his own with no influence from his father, just his memories. And being in jail for Joseph's case, and you can find his story in the book of Genesis, being Joseph in jail for years, experiencing like complete isolation from his family, he clinging to the Lord, and the Lord was there for him. So I will encourage people that haven't had this spiritual influence in their earthly parents, seek spiritual parents, seek spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers that God provides to you through your family of faith. That's mm-hmm. why it's so important to be part of a community of God, to the church. So if someone is listening and things that you can do well in your Christian life, isolated, it's never good. I mean, we see the cases like Joseph, there are the exceptions. God wants you to be part of a community of believers because there will be spiritual mentors, spiritual fathers, spiritual yeah. mothers that can walk with you. Mm-hmm. And that makes all the difference.
And, yeah. and we can be those people too.
Yeah, we can be yeah. that to others. Awesome. And that's part of what we do here, teaching a class, walking with people, having a coffee with them, and then worshiping God. It's part of our desire to be available for people. Sometimes I hear people say, no, is that I didn't want to call you because I know that you're so busy at church as a pastor. And it's like, well, that's I need to be busy with what you need to call me. That's what I mm-hmm. need to be busy with, yeah. with your life and walking with you guys. So never feel that you cannot reach to someone because that's what we're here for, to walk with the church and be a community of faith and encourage each other to walk with Jesus.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that.
Cool.
Okay.
For posterity.
All right. So Sergio, we all listen to music.
Uh-huh.
Scott and I know we both love music. Spotify's our jam.
That's right.
I hear that you are on Spotify
uh-huh.
or iTunes,
uh-huh.
and I hear rumors that you're like a celebrity in Mexico. Can you confirm or deny?
Well, it's not there. Let me put it this way. I think my songs are better known than myself in Mexico.
Okay, explain that.
Yeah, in the 90s and during the 2000s, I wrote songs. I still write songs. And we have recorded some songs here from Iglesia del Pueblo, from Wheaton Bible, recently. But prior to that, I used to write songs, and then worship leaders in Latin America, not only Mexico, recorded them, and those songs have traveled like all Latin America.
Oh, wow.
Like, I guarantee you every there's one particular song that I guarantee you every Sunday someone sings at church in Latin America.
What's it called?
That song in Latin America. It's called La Casa de Dios.
Okay.
And
What does that mean?
The house of the Lord.
The house of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's kind of loosely based on Psalm 86. It is better to be one day in the house of God
yeah.
than mm-hmm. to be 1,000 days apart from Him. That's what the song says. And a very well-known worship leader recorded it, and it just had trouble everywhere.
That's awesome.
That's really yeah. cool.
And so other worship leaders have recorded some other songs. Now, a lot of people know those songs, and they sing them today. But then recently, when we've been releasing songs from here, from Iglesia del Pueblo, we have sang those songs.
Yeah.
So some people now know me as not only songwriter, but as a worship leader. And some churches are singing those songs right now in different places like Costa Rica and Argentina and Chile.
That's a big deal.
So that's really cool. It's really cool.
So do you enjoy leading from a stage or writing?
I think it's both. I love both. What I don't like is all the logistics and everything. If I could have someone that helps me do everything, hey, and I just stay.
And you married people. A logistical person.
Yeah, that's the beauty of God's bringing your suitable help. Yeah. So people that don't.
So you're like definitely an artist. Like you have the artist.
Yeah,
mind.
My office is always like it's not very well organized. And
I know.
Yeah, you know.
I love hanging out in there because you're so much fun.
it's been God's grace to having Rosie as my wife and partner in suitable help, and it's been God's grace that has allowed us to serve the church, not only a local church. I write the songs for our local church, but then by God's grace they reach churches in other places, in other countries, and that's really cool.
That is cool. I just imagine Sergio getting off the plane in Mexico. in like a Sergio! Little jet plane, and he has like sunglasses on, and he's walking down the stairs of the airplane, and there's like paparazzi. He's like, "No, guys, I'll see you at church on Sunday. Right. Like, don't bother me now." Yeah. We're gonna transition a little bit now.
Okay, where are we going?
We're gonna sing some songs.
Wow.
But
okay,
we're gonna give you a topic.
Okay.
And you just have to create a song.
Oh wow!
Are you up for this?
What key are you comfortable with?
G, probably.
Oh, G.
That's the first
okay.
one that I played when I was a teenager.
I might join you on some harmonies. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. The topic is what?
The topic is armadillos.
Armadillos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I have some happy music for armadillos?
Okay.
Armadillos, they are happy and fun. Armadillos, they are round. Armadillos, they may come your way, so watch out where you're stepping, move around.
That was so good.
That's good.
That's good. That gives you a rush because I'm nervous. I don't know what I'm going to say.
That was really good.
That was awesome.
I didn't know what was coming next.
Let's do it again.
I didn't know either.
Okay, let's do it in Spanish, though.
In Spanish, okay.
And the song, you have to have the line, ¿Dónde está mi armadillo?
¿Dónde está mi armadillo?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you say armadillo,
armadillo
in Spanish?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
You just have to have that line in there somewhere.
Okay, can we have a sad song now? Like a sad music? Because you lost the armadillo. Can I have a little bit more of the keyboard in my monitor, please? ¿Dónde está mi armadillo? ¿Dónde está que yo no sé? Ayer se fue y me dejó aquí. ¿Dónde está? ¿Dónde está? No lo sé. This is so sad.
That was so good.
My gosh. Can we go back to the happy one?
Wow. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, armadillo.
Wow.
Man.
Poor armadillo. I hope he gets found.
What's his name? He needs a name, no?
Army.
We should create one with his name. Army?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Army.
He's a nice one.
Army.
He's actually in the studio right here. All right. Here's another thing we'd like to do. Okay. Okay. To switch up a little bit.
Yeah.
If you could take three items to the North Pole,
okay,
what would you take?
Three items. Whoa.
And they can't be like
a boat.
Coat.
Can I bring my iPhone? Because an iPhone, I have everything.
I mean, sure. If you think
that's what you think.
Because this is, I think that the times that we're living, like, we kind of cheat because that's so easy to live with your life with an iPhone, because you have your Bible.
Is there service in the North Pole?
Oh.
Yeah, and how much are you going to bring a power generator?
So are we
a
gonna
cord
be,
counts as
yeah.
an
are we going to be purists when we don't have, like, technology or like, not technology, like
I mean,
a desert island where nothing is going
to
work?
Whatever technology you bring, you have to plug in. So if you're going to bring a generator.
Yeah. Yeah. See? No, let's just go basic. So,
okay, good.
I think I will bring a Bible.
Okay.
Not because it's the Christian answer to say.
But it is.
But it is. You go crazy. You
we
crazy.
Would have judged you if you didn't say Bible.
Yeah.
I'll bring a guitar because then you can make music and that keeps your mind. I think if you're by yourself, the thing is not to go crazy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So bring a Bible, you bring a guitar, and I think I'll bring a picture of my family.
Oh, that's
just
so nice.
Just to remember them and, again, not go crazy.
Just so you know, you could have brought your entire family. That's one of the items.
Oh.
It was kind of a trick question. Amy, what would you bring? What would you bring?
I don't know. Now you got me thinking about this generator.
Yeah.
I'm such a millennial.
Bring a solar power thing.
I think I would bring a generator and my phone.
See, is it that easy? You have everything there.
You're right. It is easy. And
your armadillo?
Yeah, I would bring army.
Army deal.
I don't know what my third item would be. Maybe some like coffee or something.
Yeah.
Maybe army may become the mascot of 27W.
I think so.
I like it.
Army, yeah. He's maybe. Somewhere there. He needs to come back.
It's probably going to be the Summer Olympics mascot.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're moving to our favorite segment.
Oh, like same favorite segment.
Yeah.
So all these
it's
has
one,
been just
no,
rehearsal.
No, it's yeah. one of our segments. It's not our favorite.
Okay.
This is one that we ask every person
yeah.
okay.
who we interview. So, if you were to stand on a soapbox,
okay,
for something or against something, what would it be?
No, I have one, and you do. You always do too.
I always have.
So you stand on a soapbox, and I needed more clarification about that term.
Well, yeah, I'll show you.
Yeah.
One of the things that really gets me.
Uh huh.
And it happened this morning.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how fresh this is.
Okay.
Hot off the press.
No, is I went to the gym. That's not the soapbox.
Okay.
And I had to get ready for work, do the shower stuff, and the towels they give you are so
cold?
Small.
Oh, small.
So I'm thinking, if I have a gym membership, why not give me a full bathrobe?
Do you think you deserve a full bathrobe?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
but then you need to pay for. You need to pay more.
Well,
you're going to the Park District
willing?
Gym.
Okay,
I'm not
so are you willing to pay more?
I'll pay a dollar
just
more.
Just to have a robe?
Yeah.
You cannot bring your own?
Yeah. Who wants to bring a wet robe back to your car?
That's
when
true.
It's 2 degrees.
That's true.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So,
it's not a very good one.
So standing up a soapbox is kind of like, is it about ranting or is it about?
Yeah,
mine's,
a little bit.
Well, oh, okay. It can be for something. Mine are always ranting. For example, my most recent one is when people who are younger than me, like at a restaurant or at a gas station, when they refer to me as hun or sweetie.
People that are younger than you.
Younger than
you
me.
You don't like that.
I don't care if like you guys call me that or older people than me call me that. But I don't need a 22-year-old being like, hey, hun, this is your total. It's like, really?
Yeah.
But isn't it like a term of endearment?
Not to someone who's like 22. It makes me feel like a child.
Come on, sweetie. I mean, seriously.
But yeah, exactly. If we're older, I'm in my 40s. You're in your 40s too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we call you sweetie, isn't it kind of condescending? It could sound like that or no?
Okay, I don't
sweetie.
Take it as that way, though.
No?
Because you're my elder.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, Sergio, we are now the elders. Yeah, we've reached that.
You're just more wise and mature than me.
Yeah, it's a great,
well,
great
wise for sure. Maturity level is
okay. So standing up at your soapbox, it's to rant about something.
Or it could be
can
something
it be something
serious?
Happy?
Happy is great. We love happy.
Okay, I think that the world needs more 80s music.
Oh,
yes. I agree.
Yeah.
Can we have some 80s music, Andy, please?
Some like Bryan Adams or something?
Yeah, some like Africa, Toto Africa.
Yes.
Oh. And something like that, because 80s music is fun.
That sounded like Doogie Howser a little bit back there.
Yeah. Michael W. Smith in the 80s.
Don't
it was like his
turn
best.
Away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love
so
80s music.
I think 80s music makes everything a little bit more fun.
Well,
yeah.
If
yeah.
I'm not mistaken... Mm-hmm. You created an electronic band.
You did. Yes, yes.
What were they called?
What kind of band was it, first of all?
Yeah, when I was a youth pastor in a previous church before here in Wheaton Bible. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
80s. Mexico.
Yeah, it's like a Human League and... Don't you want me, babe?
Oh yeah, was it like an electronica band or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I was a youth pastor in another church, and part of wanting to engage, and not only wanting to engage with the younger generation, but also because it was the music that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Now I came up with this band called, and we call it Antenna, and Antenna
so
used 80s. To play. And we actually released an album. It was called Technopop. And
Was called Technopop?
The album was called
nice.
Technopop. You can find, you can see it in iTunes.
I'm
going
to link
Spotify.
To it on Spotify in the show notes so we can all take a listen.
And it was basically, this is how it came out. I wanted to make a band like Delirious that would make like modern worship, that it would sing worship songs, but with a language then you not necessarily were going to use a church, but with a little bit broader,
broader
reach.
Yeah.
I wanted to make this band, this rock band, like Delirious. And I started looking for musicians, and I couldn't find any. So I just ended up with my friend, and both of us would play keys. And we said, we'll start using a sequencer. And since we liked 80s music and new wave from the 80s, then that's how Antenna was born.
So you're kind of like the Mexican Depeche Mode.
We really liked the patch mode in those years. And
what is that? What are you saying?
Whoa. wow, we are
Pesh
old.
Mode?
Depeche mode.
What is that?
This is for the millennials.
Guys, I was born in 1990.
Your
this is
own
like...
personal Jesus. You don't know that song?
Is that a Christian? Is that a band?
No, it's not. It's not.
It's a band. They're not Christians.
Oh.
But they have a big influence in electronic music.
Big time.
In interesting. Yeah. Okay. I'll have to look them up. Yeah.
So, yeah, we play in retreats and...
Did you wear matching outfits?
No.
Did you have big like Flock of Seagulls hair or anything like that?
No, never like that. But we play in festivals. In fact, this last summer, a festival in Cicero, in a Latino festival, invited us to play. So we play after like years of not playing some songs.
A reunion.
The reunion.
Yeah. And some people from church went there and they had never seen me sing those songs.
That's
and they
amazing.
Was like, what happened to Sergio? He transformed. And it was funny.
That's
was funny.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so it seems like your ministry is so almost worldwide. Mm-hmm. Like you're here in West Chicago, your music is being played in Mexico. I feel like, you know, Wheaton Bible, one of our values is to be sent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may from the outside seem like you have such a great opportunity because you work at a church, you're a worship pastor. But what in like your everyday life, how have you felt like the Lord has called you to be sent?
I think as simple as when you are eating, and if you're eating at eating in a restaurant, I want to say, and if you frequent the same restaurants, sometimes you start developing a friendship with waiters.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a time when you could just share about who God is or what God is doing in your life. In fact, last week, I brought some of our volunteer musicians because they invited me to lead the worship at the the chapel in Judson University. So we went there, and I brought some of our musicians. And after that, we went to eat. And this is all 20-something guys, and me, the 40-year-old guy. And so, but we're praying for our food and giving thanks to the Lord before we eat. And the waitress sees that, and she arrives when we say amen. And when we say amen, she said this: "It's so nice to see people praying for the food, especially young people." And that sparked a conversation with her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would say something as simple as just giving thanks to the Lord for our food and our meals everywhere we are, it can create a conversation with someone when we can share about Jesus and what he has done in our lives.
That's really cool.
Well, Sergio, thanks for joining us today. We had a lot of fun.
You're welcome, guys. It's been great.
It's good to be part of the family with you.
Yes, it is.
Well, to find out more about our podcast and subscribe, head to 27westpodcast.com. And follow us on Instagram at 27 West Podcast.
27 West is sponsored today by Duolingo. Thanks to Josh, Amy, and Scott for just being them,
hey,
doing what they need to do.
That's what we do.
I'm Amy Salava, and we'll see you guys next time.